Today's Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, beginning to read at verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, good morning and happy Easter to those that I haven't been able to greet with a happy Easter already this morning. Great to see you. This morning, I'd like to think about, what does Easter have to say to us? What does Easter have to say to us? It's a happy coincidence that today is also April Fool's Day. And Jesus has sometimes been called the King of Fools because he did lots of foolish things. He was born in the wrong place. He was born in a very unimportant place to the wrong family. They were a very poor family. He chose the wrong disciples, didn't he? Because he chose a group of people who weren't particularly smart, didn't have particularly high ranking within the society. He even chose one of the disciples who later betrayed him. And then, of course, he was killed on a cross, which was seen as the ultimate kind of foolish thing to do. And he was called the King of Fools. And, of course, St. Paul says that we are to be fools for Christ. He says, I am a fool. He's willing to put himself in the place where the world will look down on him and think, "You're ridiculous. What are you doing following this Jesus person? What a foolish thing to do." And so today is April Fool's Day, but today is also Easter Day, the day we celebrate the resurrection. And what does Easter have to say to us? Well, I've brought a friend with me. Borrowed from another friend. So here we have the Easter Bunny. And I discovered this week the origins of the Easter Bunny. So if we see here, I think I've got a little thing here. So if we see here, here's Jesus. But look, there we go. Can you see there? That's the origin of the Easter Bunny right there, as Jesus holds his fingers. So now we know. If ever you've wondered, well, why do we have Easter Bunny? Now you know. Obviously, that's a silly joke. So what does the Easter Bunny say to us? The Easter Bunny says, "Be happy, eat chocolate." Now, if you're having a good day, if you're in a good place, you're in a good mood, life's well, and maybe you're not particularly overweight, then that advice is quite good, isn't it? Be happy and eat chocolate. That's kind of a good thing to say to you. But what about if life is hard? What does the Easter Bunny say? The Easter Bunny says, "Be happy, eat chocolate." And what about if somebody I love has died? What does the Easter Bunny say? "Be happy and eat chocolate." What about if I feel depressed and alone? What should I do? "Be happy and eat chocolate." What about if I'm in pain? Physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain? "Be happy, eat chocolate." But what about if I'm allergic to chocolate? "Be happy, eat chocolate." You get the message. The Easter Bunny has something to say to us, but it's not very helpful when life is tough and when real life happens. The message of the Easter Bunny is not particularly helpful or useful in that situation. I wonder if anyone's seen this cartoon before. It's about how to help somebody who's suffering from depression. You won't be able to read the words from there, but essentially it starts in this corner here. So here we have someone who's feeling depressed, and here we have a friend who's approaching them. And the friend says, "What's wrong?" And the person who's depressed or anxious says, "I don't know." The friend says, "How can I help?" "I don't know." And then it says, "Okay, I made you a nest. Do you want to come?" "Okay," says the friend. "Does that help?" Yes. Are you coming out? No. Okay, hang on. And then the friend gets in together. Essentially, it's about saying that if someone you know is depressed or anxious, it's no point saying, oh, cheer up. Come on. Be happy. Eat chocolate. That's no good. You need to kind of get down to where they are to relate to them. You realize that there aren't any easy answers, but perhaps you could make it better by just being with that person. And I was thinking about this in relation to Jesus. What does Jesus do? He stoops down and he washes the disciples' feet, doesn't he? He gets to where they are. He gets to the kind of the muddy, dirty bit of them. And obviously that's symbolic as well, isn't it? Because not only is he doing that literally, he's literally washing their feet, but actually he's getting into the dirt of human life. This is God who's, you know, the creator of the universe coming down to the muck and the earth and the depression and the anxiety and the mess of real life and entering into it and being alongside his disciples and doing this thing of saying, I'll be with you. I'll come and be with you. He enters into our pain, but he does more than that, because what happens on the cross, of course, is that Jesus takes on our pain and our suffering onto himself. He takes on the sin of the world. It's been said that when Jesus died, our sin died with him. When Jesus was buried, our sin was buried. And when Jesus rose again on this Easter Sunday, we remember that our hope rose with him. Because, of course, it goes beyond the cross. It goes beyond simply getting alongside us. It's not just, I am with you, which Jesus does say, but it's also, I can lift you out of this. It's not, I'm just going to make a nest and I'll get down beside you. Yes, he does that and he's with us. But also, he has the power, because he's not just an ordinary friend. This is Jesus, the Son of God. He has the power to lift us out of it. Now, that might not mean that we're lifted out of it right now. We might pray for ourselves or for our friends who are really in the bottom of the pit. And we want them to be lifted out right now. We want God to do it right now. But it doesn't always happen, does it? But yet we can journey on with that hope, knowing that it will happen. That if it doesn't happen today or if it doesn't happen tomorrow, that one day all things will be put well. And one day all people will be risen out of that pit. And in the meantime, we hold on to that hope. We have that hope in Jesus. I need to tell you a story about something that happened in my house relating to this very sad article that I have in front of me. So my parents-in-law, my children's grandparents, decided to buy the children Easter eggs. But this was a few weeks ago. They wanted to get organised. So they brought them round to our house. And so Beck and I thought, right, well, we had three Easter eggs, but we'll put these Easter eggs in my office on a high shelf so that the kids don't get them. And then on Easter Sunday today, we'll be able to get them out. Anyway, a few days ago, we noticed that it had gone very quiet in the house. We didn't know where Ted was, and so we asked the girls, "Girls, do you know where Ted is? Do you know where your little brother is?" They said, "No. Ted's three, by the way, about to turn four." That's strange, because usually you can hear him. He's usually either in the room running around, or he's somewhere making noise, or throwing Lego about, or something. So that's strange. It's gone very quiet. Anyway, went into my office, and we found Ted with this. This is, well, there was one tiny little bit of chocolate left. But that's pretty much the scene we found. Ted feeling very guilty. And so we decided that he had to give his Easter egg to his sister. And so he's having one less Easter egg this morning to open because of this. But I was thinking about this idea of, imagine if this morning, Lucy, my middle child, woke up and when we gave out the Easter eggs, we gave her this one and she opened it up and found it to be empty. I mean, she'd be really upset and distraught, obviously. And she'd be wanting to find out who'd done it. And she'd find out, probably. And I was thinking about this idea of finding the empty Easter egg. And this morning's Bible passage of Mary and the women finding the empty tomb. And thinking they must have been completely distraught anyway, because Jesus had died 3 days earlier. And they were trying to find some comfort. They thought, well, if we go to the body, we can maybe prepare the body. And that will be some kind of comfort in our grieving, in the process of getting through this grief. That will help us. And then they arrive at the tomb. And to add insult to injury, the tomb is empty. And they think, oh no, someone's stolen the body. That's the obvious thing, because apparently that used to happen in those times. That someone's stolen the body. It couldn't have been any worse. And yet, them finding the tomb empty, it felt like despair, but actually it was a great sign of hope. And sometimes it can be like that in life. Sometimes we can find ourselves brought to a point where we have nothing left, where we're empty. And it feels like it's the moment of most despair, but actually it can be the point where hope begins to build, where life springs from that point of darkness and emptiness. And of course, that's exactly what happened on this Easter morning. So looking at the passage now, I want to focus particularly on verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, I'll go back a bit to verse 8, but in context. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So firstly, do not be afraid. And this made me think of another passage. In John chapter 16, verse 33, where Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Do not be afraid. Take heart. Yes, you will have trouble. Yes, you will have difficulties. But take heart. Do not be afraid. I have overcome the world. It's not insurmountable, the things we face. And then secondly, Jesus says, go and tell. And that relates to a few verses later where Jesus says, go and make disciples, for I am with you. I am with you always to the end of the age. So what does Easter have to say to us? Well, Easter says that there is hope. Easter, the true Easter, not the Easter bunny, but the Easter of the cross and the resurrection, says that Jesus is with us in our suffering. But also that Jesus is with us in the joy and hope that we experience now and the hope that we have for the coming resurrection. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, it says in Colossians 1, verse 18, and also in Revelation, that Jesus was the firstborn of the dead. What happened to Jesus is going to happen to us. That's what St. Paul is saying. He was the firstborn, but we are to follow. We are people of the resurrection, and this is not just something we wait for after we die. This starts now. Eternal life starts now. Later, when you come forward to receive communion, I'll give you the bread and I'll say, the bread, the body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Not may it get you into eternal life, but keep you, because you're in it now. It starts now and it continues through to eternity. So when we celebrate Easter Sunday this morning, we remember that God is with us. God is with us in our pain and our suffering, but also that God is with us in our hope and our joy. May you know that joy and the power of the resurrection this Easter. Amen.